Hey, it's 4:06. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at a new technology that could replace animals in some kinds of laboratory research.
First, conversations about the end of life can be difficult. And while these conversations are an important part of what doctors do, being a good doctor doesn't actually mean that you're trained at how to best have those conversations.
Well-known physician and writer Atul Gawande realized that he himself had difficulty having those end-of-life conversations with patients, so he set out to observe what his colleagues do in those situations. The hope was that he would be able to answer the question, what matters the most when your time becomes short?
The result is a new Frontline documentary called Being Mortal. It airs tonight at 9 on your local public television station. The producer of the documentary, Tom Jennings, is here with us now to talk about it. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you.
Well, in the documentary, you ask the question, what matters the most when life becomes short? How do we even start to answer that question?
It's so terribly personal. But I think the point really is that we often put that kind of question off. It's a little too big, perhaps a little too vague. It's something that we don't really want to think about at all. I think the problem is that what happens is that we start asking those questions at the moment when there's a crisis, and that often really is just a little too late.
How do doctors begin to figure out what that means for each patient? As you said, it's something that's incredibly personal. So what's sort of the beginning part of that conversation?
The beginning part is something that's actually rooted in a kind of medicine that's been around. It's fairly new, but it's been around for at least two decades and goes back even further. It's called palliative care medicine, and a lot of people associate it with hospice, but palliative care is a subset of medicine that's unto itself. It deals a lot with pain relief, but it also is done by trained physicians, trained in and practiced in end-of-life conversations. And so they actually have a very strong framework for asking questions, very specific questions that seem very simple. But the whole idea is to get the conversation out there, to establish what people's priorities are at the end of life when there's no more life to live. I mean, the question is really, what do you want to do? What are the goals that you have, except for living longer? What can we do in the time left? And then let's start catering and designing our treatment based on those goals.
Now, in the beginning of Being Mortal, Dr. Atul Gawande watches other doctors tackle this question. What are some of the roadblocks he sees to asking people, even, you know, he has trouble with this himself, but asking people about their end-of-life wishes?
Well, I think it's so interesting because it's so relatable to all of us. We all have the same kind of problems. I think we also feel that the doctors who deal with these kinds of issues on a daily basis should probably be a little more accustomed to dealing with it. But the problem really is that they have this sense of being the fix-it people. They have the ability to fix problems. The question is, what happens when there are no more cures and they don't have anything else to use to fix things? What happens then? What kind of conversation do they have then? They're at a loss oftentimes. And so they find themselves as perplexed and hard to embrace the reality of the situation of these patients that they're often very deeply involved with.
Do you think part of this is changing some assumptions about the end of life? And one of them might be that everybody wants to live as long as they possibly can, no matter what. Is that something that needs to shift?
Yeah. that's a bit of an existential question, but I think that's really largely what comes into play here. You know, it's really not just the doctors. It's a two-way street. I think we have to accommodate ourselves as people and patients, or patients-to-be. You know, we have to be the people to embrace the idea that there's a certain limited capacity to our own lives, that we do have an endpoint. And the sooner that we can embrace these kinds of discussions, the more likely it is that we're going to actually have a smoother landing at the end. There are a lot of studies now that do support this. Just having this very simple discussion, recognizing the reality that there's a finite time left, there's a lot of studies that show that people actually live better at the end of their life. And strangely, this is the oddest thing, they actually live longer.
Why do they live longer? Because they're honoring their true wishes and not just life extension?
I can't really say exactly why, but if you think about it, there's a certain kind of logic that's at play here. If you decide to have a conversation and then that conversation leads you to go into, say, hospice earlier, that means that you're taking yourself out of treatment. And if you're taking yourself out of treatment, you're taking yourself out of exposure to what are oftentimes, you know, toxic therapies. And every time you do another treatment, you're offering up with the potential for some kind of complication. Oftentimes, you know, at this stage of life, there are complications. And so once you remove yourself from that whole matrix, suddenly it's just kind of an organic ending. You don't have as much suffering, potentially. I'm not saying it's always the case. But the studies do show that people are not only happier at the end, they seem to be living healthier at the end. And by doing all of that combined, they actually have longer life outcomes compared to those people who have not entered into these discussions early. It's fascinating work.
Well, we have a clip here from Being Mortal of Dr. Atul Gawande speaking with the husband of one of his patients who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. She had been diagnosed late in her pregnancy and had done a lot to try to prolong her life. And Dr. Gawande here is speaking about his own conflicting role in this.
When I came on the scene was when she got diagnosed with a second cancer. You know, in my mind, what I was thinking was I wouldn't offer this surgery because the lung cancer is going to take her life. And yet I didn't feel I could say that to you all. I think we started talking about the experimental therapy that you all would like, were hoping to get on for a trial with the lung cancer. And I remember saying something I sort of regret, which was, you know, maybe that experimental therapy will work for the thyroid cancer, too. I knew it was a complete lie.
And this gets at something that doctors experience, like you said, wanting to be the one to fix things to make it better and have to admit to themselves and their patients at some point that they can't make it better. There is no fix. This is the end of life for someone. I'm curious if there is a bit of a moment going on among medical professionals right now, taking a look at how to have these conversations and how best to have them.
I feel that there is. I feel that the success of Atul's book, you know, Being Mortal, the same name that we gave the film, is a testament to that. It's been at the top of the bestseller list ever since its publication in October. I attribute it partly to Atul's, you know, strong sense of kind of what the social needs are in society. But I also think that we're now at a point that we're willing to have these kinds of conversations. We're willing to explore them, and we're past, you know, the death panels, and we're past the politicization of you know, making these kinds of decisions. Not completely. There'll always be these issues that come up and pop up, but there's a certain kind of sense of growth, I think, that's happened, and a willingness to embrace things, to talk about these issues that we just haven't seen before. It really does feel like we're on a certain precipice looking into something new.
And as you said, this involves patients, too. There are clips in the documentary where it's clear that the patient themselves isn't ready to acknowledge this, but the healthcare provider feels that they have to. They have to take that step, and it's sort of a delicate balance that has to be struck. Is there any kind of training, really, that can prepare anyone for a conversation like that?
Yeah, actually, there is. I mean, I think there's definitively a kind of training that people can go through. I don't think that anybody is really saying that every doctor in America has to be a palliative care doctor, you know, credentialed. And I think that people who are actually palliative care physicians, you know, doctors who are trained in this, are the ones who need to go into the most difficult situation. But I think that what Atul is really trying to get across, and what we're trying to say in the film, is that it's a kind of conversation that has a sort of rudimentary aspect to it. It's just very basic. It's simple. And the effects are very profound. And even if doctors are able to embrace that simple conversation and break through, you know, beyond the sense of them wanting to be the fix of people, then it's going to be a net positive for everybody. But I don't want to lay it all on the doorstep of the doctors either. I think we all have to kind of look into this. And there are a lot of communities, even in Wisconsin, I know, that are very progressive about this. It's a fascinating phenomenon that seems to be happening.
Tom, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Tom Jennings, producer of the Frontline documentary Being Mortal, that airs tonight at 9 on your local public television station.